You're listening to RAWF After Hours on the RAWF Radio Network.
Tonight has decided to have a hiccup, as it is occasionally wont to do. There will be no chat tonight from the looks of things, although I will continue trying to make there a chat. And apparently you can only call in if you get invited by the co-invite guest. I might be able to do that, send certain people Gmail invites to call in, but it's also hard to say whether that'll work or not. We will see. Luckily for me, my co-host was able to get here, and he's back after about a month-long bout with donkey flu. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
I feel a hot wind on my shoulder. Of a world that is older. I turn the switch and check the number. I leave it on while the dead I slumber. I hear the rhythm of the music. I buy a product and never use it. I hear the talkings of the DJ. Can't understand just what does he say. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican
Ladies and gentlemen, El Vacant is here. I hope so, anyways. El Vacant?
Si, I am here.
How you feeling, buddy?
I'm here. I mean it.
How are you feeling, sir? Feeling better now?
Donkey flu is no joke. There are two reasons it's called a donkey flu. One, because you feel like you've been kicked by a donkey. And two, actually, because you cough so much and you make this weird sound when you cough. And you kind of sound like a donkey.
Yeah, I still have it. I still have the call, the recording you left me, and it sounded quite a bit like this. And I think all you were trying to tell me is I ain't gonna be there.
Are you gonna get the message across?
Yeah, I think it got the message across. But luckily, Maeve stepped in and filled in for you very admirably, I should say, very well, last couple weeks. And I want to thank her for that, for sure. But, yeah, Blog Talk's being a bitch, folks. I hope you're hearing this. If you're not hearing, I apologize. Hopefully you are. It does seem like... Yeah, you guys could use the scene for chat. This is true. AF James mentioned in the show chat. If, as long as you're listening, you can use the scene for the chat. Or someone can make a scene for the chat in game, whichever you want to do. I won't be able to pay much attention to it, but I'm sure somebody could. All right. right. I appreciate that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have some pay-per-view results. We have some final period rankings, and we have some contender matches to announce for tomorrow's show here in Edmonton. Edmonton. We're in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Is that that's right? Let's see. I haven't checked what the weather is what the temperature is out right now. Let's see. It's only 26 out. It's a brisk 26 here in Edmonton. Just a little cold. It's good for the flu. It's good to help clear the sun. All right.
He said, trying not to cough out of lung.
I used to still have a little bit of it left, huh?
Yeah, it takes a little while to get it completely out of your chest.
I hear you. All right. Well, so first off, let's talk about Love Hurts and what all happened. It was some very surprising results, I think, certainly coming out of Love Hurts, and we've got a lot of title changes came out of Love Hurts. Let's talk about this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 championships changed hands at Love Hurts.
That might be a record for this event.
It could be. So let's talk about, first of all, the FUBAR C Street fight between the Paragon and between Paragon of Greatness and the Razor. Paragon was victorious over that. But after that match was over, he was attacked by none other than Ice Cold Aaron McFadden. If we get Paragon on tonight, we'll talk more about that situation with him.
UTF moment.
Yeah. But Paragon had a pretty good night, to say the least. D&D defeated the Hip in the no DQ tag challenge match. So Paragon went 2-0 in the early matches against the DOC. Ken Costas defeated Soul Reaper in their FUBAR City Street fight. And Hotshot Chaz and Blake Bradley, in their last man standing match, fought to a draw. Both men unable to answer the bell when they were both knocked out towards the end of the match. So that happened. And it was an amazing match, to be honest with you. And both men went on to wrestle later in the night. We'll get to that in a second. Redneck Avenger defeated Taker to become the first ever bar brawl champion. So congratulations to RA. The Anything Goes Championship, it looked like at first that the Paragon of Greatness had defeated Extreme Enigma to win the Anything Goes Championship, but upon further review, it was shown that Paragon had not followed the rules, to say, and the title was given back to the Extreme Enigma. So Enigma technically defended his title against the Paragon of Greatness, the Anything Goes Champion.
Even though he got his ass kicked.
Yes. Eva, still your Champions Choice Champion after defeating Revenge. But we have Hobo Ezekiel, still Powerball Champion after defeating NC. But here come some of the new champions, as Davila defeated Taker to become the new Multimedia Champion. Congratulations to Davila. Fire Chief Bill defeated Natalya and Black Lilith to become the new Triple Crown Champion. Deez and Mithras defeated Hotness Overload to become the new Tag Team Champions. Deez defeated Chris Cage to become the new FUBAR City Champion. So a whole slew of title changes there. Midnight Hobo Championship, Hobo Ezekiel retained against Kayla the Governess. Cougs retained her Estrogen Championship against DW Diesel Warrior. Taker successfully retained his championship against Blake Bradley. But we have a new national champion. We have a new national champion as Hotshot Chaz defeated Conk to win the national championship for the first time in his RAWF career. Congratulations to Chaz. Killin' Neptune defeated Simply the Best to become the new Platinum Dragon Champion. And SCB was unsuccessful in his bid for the World Heavyweight Championship. Chris Cage successfully defending the title against STB. It was not a good night for Simply the Best, El Vacant. So, yeah, he definitely did not get out. He did not fare well and kind of hurt his chances. So he definitely was not is not going to Immortal 11 as both Platinum Dragon and World Champion. He's not going to be Immortal as either champion, unfortunately, for STB. But your thoughts here on what on some of the things that we've gone over here? Anything stand out to you?
I mean, so many. We should just start at the beginning and talk about the matches that were big matches because there's so much that happened.
Oh, there were some hellacious matches. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Chris Cage at STB. I think STB might have been a little worn out after that match with Killa. That match with Killa was incredible for the Black Dragon.
Look, I didn't want to start the big match because I think there are things that impacted that. But absolutely, I don't have any other way to say this. Chris Cage answered every question that needed to be answered from his side because not only did he retain, but he kind of dominated that match. It was pretty one-sided.
Yeah, it really was. Chris Cage definitely took STB to school, but we don't. I mean, to be fair, STB just got done with an hellacious match against Killer Neptune,
and that's why I'm saying we're kind of walking it backwards because I do believe that one of the reasons that match went down the way it did is because moments before, literally the match before, STB had one of the biggest knockdown drag-out fights we have ever seen at a Love Hurts. Killa and STB tried to take down the ring, the arena, the state borderlines. Like that was just insane.
It was, indeed. And Killa Neptune, I'd never seen him wrestle like that, I don't think, in his entire career. And I think it was all because of him realizing that this whole conspiracy thing was actually the thing that was holding him back or what you will, it was in his own head. And it seems like he got into a mental state we had never seen him before. And he took everything STB had to offer and more and just kept fighting back and was able to get that Platinum Dragon Championship for the third time. So, yeah, I mean, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right. So, with that being said, Davila defeating Taker, that's a great – I mean, are we surprised by Davila over Taker? Were we surprised by that? I wasn't.
I'm sorry. I was trying to deal with the chat for the people. I'm sorry. What was your question?
That's all right. We're going to be distracted this whole show because of this whole issue, so I'm not going to worry about it. Were we surprised that Davila defeated Taker for the Multimedia Championship? I certainly wasn't.
I was a little, because I mean, the man has been very, very steady for quite some time. But, man, like I've said before, the moment you count Davila out is the moment you've made a mistake. And I almost wonder if that's what happened. I think Undertaker overlooked the villa and paid for it.
Yeah, I think he did. I did think he did, too. He still walked out with the men's championship over Blake Effin Bradley, though. So he didn't leave unscathed, but he did not leave with the three titles that he went in with. Now, and at any rate, congratulations to Davila on being the new multimedia champion. And I want to say it was her first time, but I don't think that is correct.
And that's yours, honestly. I just
updated that particular one earlier. Let me double check. No, it was not the first time. Davila has actually held that title on at least two other occasions, might even be three. So, yeah, this is actually the fourth time Davila has been multimedia champion. The last time was in 2020 when she defeated Claymore and held it for 120 days. So, yeah, fourth four-time multimedia champion is Davila. What first time national champion is Hotshot Chaz, the biggest win of his RAWF career. I'm proud of Chaz. I think it was finally time, at the expense of Conk, however. What are your thoughts on Chaz's big win over Conk?
I mean, one, it's DFC. Cry Me a River. But I've been saying for a really long time that this kid was up and coming, that, you know, all he had to do was get out of his own way and greatness would follow. And I'm glad he's proven me right. You know, he's had some other titles recently and he's done pretty well with them, but this is the biggest title he's ever had in the RAWF. This is an absolute showcase position for Chaz to show the world who and what he is. And I hope he goes far with it.
I do too. And the important thing is he's going to immortal as national champion. You know, I mean, that's a big thing. That's a big deal to defend a title at immortal. You know, it's huge. That's huge.
It is.
It's huge for Chris as the world champion. He's guaranteed the main event of Immortal 11. So huge for Killa as well. It's huge for anyone that still is holding champion. D's defeating Chris Cage, though, a little bit of a bittersweet for Chris Cage, but he still has the world title. He did lose the FUBAR City title, and as we'll talk about here in a minute, he also lost the White Lightning title last week in Calgary to the Paragon of Greatness. He doesn't have three titles. He only has one, but he has the big one, the World Heavyweight Championship. So,
he played it smart. Yeah, I mean, did he lose his two other belts, you know, belts that he's had for a long time and has done a lot with? Yeah, he did. But here's the question. You know, if he had put in what it would have taken to keep those belts, would he have had enough to do what he did in the main event?
I mean, true enough, but you got to remember the White Lightning was actually a week later. I mean, this is nothing against Chris Cage. I mean, you can't argue with a 363-day reign as White Lightning champion.
No, second it's hard to argue.
Second only to Uncle Frank's 546-day reign as White Lightning champion. So, I mean, kudos to Chris Cage, certainly for the fact that he was able to hold that title for nearly a year. And the only reason it wasn't exactly a year is because Love Hurts was on the 12th last year and on the 11th this year. So he won it at last year's Love Hurts, lost it at this year's Love Hurts. So you could basically say it was a year-long
reign. That sounds like a year to me. I don't know.
That's really a year when you think about it. Absolutely. Congratulations to Chris Cage, still the world champion. All right. With that being said, I believe I just sent you a few minutes ago the final top 25 for the rankings period for Jingle Hell Rock through Love Hurts.
We're not going to discuss the other matches, or we're going to do this and then go back to matches?
Well, we could go back and talk about them in a little bit.
There are matches we didn't discuss that we need to discuss.
Okay, right. Well,
really discuss the men's championship. We didn't really discuss Triple Crown Championship.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's talk about this,
and we'll go back.
All right. Do this, and let's go back. Yes.
Assuming I don't cough up a lung trying to do it.
Yes, please don't.
Pardon me. All right, everybody. So this is the finals. This is the, you know what this means, right? This determines who gets to make challenges. This determines your rankings matches for Immortal. This is the whole enchilada. And by the way, if you like enchiladas, we have them at the truck downstairs. And, you know, for just $7.99, you too can get yourself an enchilada. All right. So here we go. In 25th place, we have the Diesel Warrior. In 24th place, oh, I haven't seen this name in here in a while. Sai squeaks in at 24th place. In 23rd place, we have the current men's champion, The Undertaker, which is actually kind of low for him. In 22nd, we have Tigress. In 21st place, we have our current multimedia champion, The Villa. In 20th place, we have the man with the mouth, Money Sue. In 19th place, we have a name I don't say very often, Little Miss Sassy. In 18th place, which this is hell of a rise. Last time we read this, he wasn't on the list at all. In 18th place, we have the immortal Griffith. In 17th place, we have the winner of the first ever Bar Brawl Championship, the Red Neck Avenger. And if that is not the absolute perfect person to win that title, I do not know who he is. All right. In 16th place, we have the pure one, Uber Vegan. In 15th place, we apparently have that man with a plan that ice cold runs in his veins, Aaron McFadden. In 14th place, we have Ken Costa. In 13th place, we have, I missed this, and it's really sad, but I didn't get to see it happen. But our current after-hours champion, Maeve O'Hare. In 12th place, we have our current world champion, Chris Cage. In 11th place, we have A.F. James, which brings us to the top 10, everybody. That's right, the top 10 for the month. Here we go. In 10th place, Conk. In 9th place, we have our current Foo Bar City champion and one half of the tag team champions, D's. Oh, God, that's not fun. In 8th place, we have our current Champions Choice champion, Eva. In 7th place, we have our current Midnight Hobo champion, Hobo Ezekiel. Wait, is he not still the Powerball champion? Didn't he win both? I thought he had two.
Yes, he does. You're right.
Okay,
I forgot to put Powerball in.
He is still the, what is he calling himself? The
Midnight Baller.
The Midnight Baller. That's right. He is still the Midnight Baller champion. In 6th place, we have Nightcrawler. In 5th place, that's got to hurt. In 5th place, Simply the Best keeps up. All right. In 4th place, our current national champion, Hotcha Chaz. In 3rd place, Blake Bradley. In 2nd place, we have our current Platinum Dragon and Superstars champion, Killa Neptune, which leaves us in 1st place, the current White Lightning champion, the winner of the Extra Points Tournament, the Paragon of Greatness, finishes his road to immortal.
All right, so we will talk about what that means as far as contender matches.
Okay.
We'll talk about that, but you said you wanted to go back and talk about other matches. But first...
Yeah, we had other matches we didn't discuss. Come on. Go ahead.
I'm going to bring in some help because I hear, you're having a difficult time. If we have a third... I think we'll have a three-person booth for the night. What do you think? Let's bring on the first class lass.
Good evening, Vacant. I thought I was supposed to be better.
I thought I was too, but God, I get here in this 20-something degree weather, my chest just tries to jump out of itself.
That must be it. I guess I'm
sorry.
It is pretty cold.
I bet you if some, I don't know, random cute redhead were to snuggle up on my chest and keep me warm, I'd feel better.
Well, you think that would help?
It couldn't hurt.
I mean, for science. I will be happy to take my seat of Miss Theon here. How are you keeping, Bossman?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Maeve. I appreciate you showing up. Seems like Vacant might
be
able... If you got any water or anything for him to help him, I'm not... Never mind.
Nothing but water.
That's right. Okay. So I may be... this could be, get interesting. We got a host here that's blonde. We got... a co-host that's coughing up a lung, and another co-host that may be a little hangry tonight.
I ate before I came. I learned my lesson from last week.
Well, that's good. Hopefully it was filling.
I'm not touching any of this.
No, I'm not going to say nothing else. All right, so at any rate.
I don't know what you're implying.
So let's go back at you, El Vacant wanted to talk more about some of the matches that happened at Love Hurts. We talked about the World and Platinum Dragon and National. Taker over Blake Bradley retaining his men's championship, which was surprising to me because Blake was on quite the tear throughout the rankings period. But he ran into a very determined Taker who I believe after losing his first two matches of the night, felt like there was no way in hell he could lose that third one. And he certainly took it to Blake F. and Bradley there. Maeve, your thoughts?
I don't know if I thought that that's where exactly how that were going to go.
But I'm so happy it is.
You don't hear me complaining now, do you? I am very excited to see some belts change in hands. And we can get more into that later. I did remind Davila in the chat that I said that I would like to see whoever left that match with the multimedia title do something with it. So we'll see where that goes. But no, I can't say that's a blame Taker because at that point I would have been really upset too. So I think that were just bad timing on Blake Bradley's part as far as when he ran into Taker.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
This guy comes in, calls his shot, talks all big and bad for an entire month about what he's going to do, and then he just runs into this. Well, honestly, it's not even just that. He had a pretty bad end of the month. Like, you know, he had a match where he just got completely run through and then handed to him. I don't understand what happened there. And then he turns around and runs into a brick wall that was The Undertaker, who just crushed him. Like, it was embarrassing.
And it really did ruin Blake Bradley's plans, not just the fact that he lost to the Taker, the fact that the STB lost both of his matches, it kind of hurt his chances there as well. So, yeah, he was hoping to get into the main event at Immortal. It is not to be, however, as you read the rankings a little earlier. We'll talk about the contender matches.
Granddad used to say something about wishing in one hand, but I reckon that's not the point here.
No, let's not do that. But anywho, let's talk about. Coogs is still lengthening that longest estrogen title reign in RAWF history. Again, a successful defense against DW. Yourself aside, Maeve, who do you think could find? Is there anybody in RAWF can get that title away from her, as far as the ladies go?
Hello.
Whoa.
The hell was that?
Not it.
Not me.
I think that there are definitely some women who are capable of it. But I also know how determined Coogs is, and I do know that even more so than Immortal, Radiversary is her favorite pay-per-view. She said so before. So I don't like anyone's chances getting that belt away from her till after Radiversary. If I were going to name names of folks that I think are the most capable, DW would have been near the top of that list. Tigress is near the top of that list. And I'm going to have to put in a good word for my friend Eva, who I think, if she got into that title match, would definitely give Cougs a run for her money.
Yeah, we will see. We will absolutely see. I think Cougs is going to be... She is really riding that title this time, and I don't mean anything dirty about that. She just it is what it is. She is going to is synonymous with that championship over the RAWF history, and so it will be it's going to take a very sturdy lady to get that away from her. I have a feeling. Deez and Mithras's win over Hotness Overload. We knew Hotness Overload, they were going to be, they are one of the toughest teams in all of WU. But Deez and Mithras, too tough. I mean, Mithras is an RAWF legend. Deez is starting to get to that point. He's held just about every belt. This will be his I want to say third time with the tag team titles. So talk to me what you guys saw in this tag team title match.
You want to go
first,
Jacob?
Go ahead.
What I saw is sort of what I think a lot of us have been waiting for. I mentioned this before when we talked about the match leading up to Love Hurts. A lot of folks, including myself, were saying that it didn't seem right that Deez and Mithras hadn't been tag team champions together. They've both held the gold with other partners, and they're both obviously very capable in the ring, both in singles and in tags. So in that way, I sort of feel like it were almost inevitable. But at the same time, we've also seen just how good Brew and Menz are, and I can attest, having faced them as a tag team myself, they are hard to stop. So I'm not surprised by the result. And I will say congratulations to Deez and Mithras, because getting those belts away from someone as tough as Hotness Overload is no small task. So big congratulations. You've earned it. Be proud of yourselves, and especially with Deez, you know, having other big matches that night as well. It's not easy to wrestle more than one match a night, much less multiple title matches.
All right. How impressed were you, Maeve, with Chris Cage's performance in the title match against STV?
I hate to say it. I did not think that it were going to that close. I thought that Chris Cage were going to retain. I did not think that he were going to be that dominant. That is a side of Chris Cage I have very rarely seen. And I think that more than anything else proves that this is, in fact, a different Chris Cage than we'd seen in years past here in RAWF. For those who are wondering, is he really changed? Is he really a different person? I think the title match at Love Hurts proves it. Because it were like he were someone else out there.
Definitely more focused.
Very focused. And that's always been the thing that I feel like Chris Cage were not quite there yet. And that he would get distracted. He would start getting in his own head. He would start thinking, well, wouldn't it be funny if I did this, that, or the other crazy thing instead of focusing on the match? And when he went into this match with the mentality of, I am the champion and I want to leave the champion and go on to represent RAWF as the world champion at Immortal, that's what
he apparently what he thought this time was, wouldn't it be funny if I kick this guy's ass and go into Immortal with the unquestionable champion?
I mean, I don't think that anyone can say that he's a fluke at this point. When
I
you
mean,
go into a match against STV and you win that hard, it's kind of unquestionable.
Yeah. And it's not like he lost against, like, a nobody. Like, he lost against a guy who's been pretty dominant in the rankings all year.
For the better part of 2 years at this point.
Yeah, you know what? That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
All right, so I think we've covered Love Hurts. I mean, it was a huge victory for Chris Cage in the main event, even despite his loss of the FUBAR City title. STB did not have a good night, neither did Blake Bradley, but there were a lot of title changes, and things are going to get interesting heading into Immortal. So first, let's get to some GM reports, and Maeve, would you like to start?
Of course I would. Do you want me to start with Xanther or with Brigid?
Yes, whichever you want to go with.
Well, I've got Xanther in front of me, so I'll start there. So we are still taking donations. The donation scene should be on your feed because we've been bumping it fairly consistently, but I will bump it again in just a moment. But right now we are sitting at 155,500,000 coins. And 2,150 wrestle bucks. We've also got two companies, 30 entrance videos, and a promo package from the legendary Kong himself. We are still taking donations. So please, by all means, if you haven't gotten your donation in, you can post in the scene. You can message one of the GMs. We will get you taken care of. Boss Man will send out the invites. It'll be great. And we will be taking those invites for another week or so, and then we'll start doing all the hard, well, boss man's going to do all the hard math. You don't want me doing it. We'll do the math. And then we will send out the tournament invites, and you'll see exactly what you're fighting for. But thank you to everyone who's already donated, and thank you to everyone who's going to donate. And thank you even if you've just joined and bumped and shared the scene, because this is important not only to Bossman and the GMs, but to everyone in RAWF. And I'd like to thank to everyone in WU as a whole. This is a chance for us not only to go out there and do what we do best, but to have a moment to remember Xanthar and all the other folks that we've lost over the years, but who are still near and dear to our hearts. So I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Bossman for putting this on every year, because he does a lot of work that no one understands, just how much he's doing behind the scenes to get this to come off without a hitch. Thank you, Bossman.
Without a hitch. That's the key word. I don't know. Occasionally, there's a hitch, but, you know, it is what it is. Thank you, Maeve. I appreciate it. And, yes, it is definitely one of the hardest working times of the year here for me in RAWF. I have a bar brawl update from Conk. Redneck Avenger defeated Undertaker at Love Hurst to become the inaugural bar brawl champion. Chapter 4 of this season is halfway finished. A points update will be added in the scene after Chapter 4 has concluded. The bar brawl location has been determined for the upcoming pay-per-view. The winner of Season 2 will face the first ever bar brawl champion, Redneck Avenger, at Immortal 11 in Houston, Texas on March 31st, 2024 at the location of... the location of this epic championship match will take place at the Red River Ice House near Reliant Stadium. So that is our bar brawl update. Thank you very much, Conk. And let's see here. Tags report. Congrats to Deez and Mithras, the new tag team champions. Short and sweet from Unstoppabot. Thank you, Unstoppabot. And last but not least on the evening, let's bring on our Ultimate Gauntlet GM, hopefully, as long as the invite went through properly.
Recognize that I am not alive. I survive. I'm the dance in the hourglass of time. I'm the chalk line outline. Everything is mine. From the red to the earth to the shadows far behind. I'm the stars in the sky and I shine so bright. I'm eternal. I'm the reason that your day turns night. Not the water and the sun. Not the bullet in your gun. I'm the finger on the trigger and I'm about to blast one. I ain't never give a shit. All the bitches better recognize again. Motherfucker on the block and I'm baptizing blood of the fallen. Keep it G, go ahead, Yosemite Sam. Fuck around, beat an X, out of gram. Big dog way off the counter, don't bother with the cake. Can't keep me like the way I need my face. Going 6 feet deep, where the dead man sleeps. With no rat that creep in my flesh for weeks. And the maggot still sleep, by the open wounds, stress.
Ladies and gentlemen, the P to the O to the G, the Paragon of Greatness. Paragon, how are you this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
Congratulations on your White Lightning Championship victory last week in Calgary, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Do you have an Ultimate Gauntlet report for us?
I, in fact, do. It's another pretty short one. We kind of knew where we were going with this after the update last week when we had last seen that the First Lady of Anarchy, Cougar, had ended the run of DW, then went on to beat Hot Cheese and Fire Chief Bill and Hotshot Chaz, going on to the predicted count-out match with Beast, meaning that the First Lady of Anarchy, Cougar, will be receiving a White Lightning Championship, or not a White Lightning, Ultimate Gauntlet Championship match on tomorrow's Superstars.
All right, that's going to add to an already stellar card tomorrow, Cougar versus Billy Gunn for the Ultimate Gauntlet Championship. Ah, exciting stuff, Paragon. All right, stick around because we got more exciting stuff to talk to you about in just a few minutes.
Absolutely.
All right, so we get back now to the rankings, and as if y'all didn't get to hear El Vacant's narrating of the rankings, they are posted not just in the show chat that we're currently using, it are also posted in the top 25. And what this means as far as contender matches, well, let me tell you. First of all, for a shot at Davila's Multimedia Championship at Immortal 11. It will be Money Sue versus Little Miss Sassy. Now, Little Miss Sassy, her first ever trip into the top 25, gets an opportunity at the Multimedia Championship, but she has to get past an RAWF Hall of Famer. This makes for a very interesting scenario either way, guys, Vacant and Maeve. If Sassy can get the victory, which I would consider an upset if she beats Money Sue, she gets her first opportunity against Davila, two very tough ladies. Little Miss Sassy has come up quite a bit. So that would be an interesting match, but just as interesting, if not more so, if Money Sue beats Little Miss Sassy, we get one of the longest standing rivalries, and these two hate each other with a passion, trust me. It could get ugly very, very quickly. If Money Sue wins that match against Little Miss Sassy, that means he goes on to face Davila for the Multimedia Championship at Immortal 11, and we would have one slobbernogger for the big pay-per-view, for the biggest show of the year. These two absolutely cannot stand each other. So what are your thoughts, Maeve? Would you rather see Little Miss Sassy, or would you rather see the Money Sue Davila showdown?
I mean, no offense to Little Miss Sassy. I like her a lot, and she's definitely earned her way onto the top 25, and I hate to see this when this could be her first opportunity for RAWF Gold, but I just really, really, really want to watch Davila slap Money Sue around.
Well, that's always a pleasure.
I reckon that would be funny. So I'm hoping that Money Sue wins so Davila can slap the taste out of his mouth.
What about you, Elvake? Your thoughts.
Okay, for the record, to get to see that, I think if you just walked up to Davila and say, hey, I'll give you a quarter to go slap Money Sue around, she'd be like, ooh, yay, a quarter, and go slap Money Sue around. Like, I don't
but
think you need
a
match
for that. But it wouldn't be a Immortal.
Good point. But I think the odds are in Money Sue's favor in this match. No offense to Little Miss Sassy. I just think Money Sue is a very known quantity in the company. No, I'm dying. I think that's going to happen. Now, I would like to see the new person get the shot, right? Someone who isn't someone we've seen all the time. You know, I think Little Miss Sassy going up for a title for her first time ever is good for everybody. I think I'd love to see that. But I think in reality, we're going to see one of the most heated rivalries in the history of this company.
Agreed. Not just in the history of this company, in the history of the business. It
spills way outside the walls of the RAWF.
We're talking about one that goes back to old Death or Glory and CSW days, okay? It won't be a new rivalry here in RAWF. No, it goes way back further than that. The Renegades as a whole can't stand Money Sue. Davila is just one of the most prominent and one of the ones still standing. From the old days, that definitely does. And yeah, that one would be incredible. Then we have two Triple Crown contender matches. The winner will face Fire Chief Bill at Immortal. This was going to get interesting. We've got, first of all, Ice Cold Aaron McFadden has to take on the Immortal Griffith, and then Uber Vegan TPO to take on the Redneck Avenger. So I'm going to start with TPO versus Avenger before we get to the other one here. What do you guys think about this one? Which one of them is going to go on to be in that Triple Crown title match against FCB? Will it be TPO or will it be RA?
Oh, that's a tough question. They are two very, very tough individuals and very different individuals.
Very, very different. I think if I sat here all day and talked about how different people are, I feel like you couldn't get much more different than RA and Vegan.
I believe the word we use in English is juxtaposed.
I'll add that to my list of vocabulary words.
Honestly, I would, if I had to put money on this with the way things have been going lately, I think I'd give Redneck Avenger the nod.
I mean, he certainly showed that he has not got any rust on him anymore at Love Hurts.
Yes, he did. Well, he did that in his environment in a bar brawl. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be
sure.
This will be similar similar to a bar brawl, as if you're taking on multiple, multiple opponents. But Bill himself, those Bill and Red RA go back way back too. Is they know each other quite well from for a long time. So I won't be surprised if Bo wins, but I have to say I'm pulling for RA. But now to the other one, Ice Cold Aaron McFadden, a former Triple Crown champion, going up against a two-time former Triple Crown champion, a man who wants to go to Immortal in a title match for a title, because anything less is kind of, not the Immortal one. So, all right, are we all in agreement that Aaron McFadden has got his work cut out for him tomorrow?
Look, if you had told me this 3 weeks ago, I'd have felt bad for Aaron. I really would have. Not really so much right now.
I think the term you're looking for, boss man, is proper fucked.
Let me put it to you this way. Aaron McFadden wins that match tomorrow. It will be one of the biggest upsets so far in 2024, in my opinion. But he had a pretty good rankings period, and he made some noise at Love Hurts, to say the least. So we will see if Aaron McFadden is up to the challenge of the Immortal Griffith tomorrow in that Triple Crown title match. But FCB versus RA versus Griffith, that'd be a hell of a Triple Crown title match for Immortal 11. Not that the other two wouldn't be great too, but
it would be the first time in a while where two of the people were in a faction together.
That's true.
I mean, they're not going to all be in a faction together unless Aaron McFadden wins. Like, we got a much better chance of it not being that.
All right. This leads us to our next contenders match. And Maeve, you have an opportunity to go to Immortal to challenge for the FUBAR City title. All you have to do is get by Ken Costa, who as of late has been making quite a bit of noise. And, first time in the rankings, this high in the rankings, really, I'm pretty sure. Elvacan, I'll ask you first. Maeve or Ken Costa tomorrow goes on to challenge D for the FUBAR City Championship?
So how do you feel about FUBAR City there, Maeve? Because you're going to be the new mayor.
It's not my speciality. But it's not something that I'm afraid of neither. So I think it'll be interesting. I suppose I could make out that I'm doing this for my Celtic brother, Soul Reaper, to avenge him or some such, except I really don't care.
That's a lie. You know that's a lie.
I will have to remember to eat before the show is what I'll say, because FUBAR City match is certainly nothing that I want to try to do on an empty stomach.
Very fair. Very fair. It should be a heck of a match. You and Ken Costa tomorrow for a shot at Visa's FUBAR City Championship at Immortal 11. For a shot at the Midnight Hobo Championship held by Hobo Ezekiel, it will be the legendary Conk versus A.F. James. Two very, both men, former FUBAR City champions, although it has been about 10 years since Conk has held that title. He did hold it for a few days back in the day. A.F. James, however, has a more recent holder of it. So both men know what's at stake. Both men know that championship. What are your guys' thoughts on Conk versus A.F. James? Maeve?
I think it's going to be a good match. I think it depends on what sort of a mindset Conk is in, because there's been a lot of shenanigans going on in and around his
little... And malarkey.
And malarkey. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Bacon. There's been a lot of that going on. And if A.F. James is smart, which he often portrays himself to be, he's going to take advantage of that.
I said FUBAR City, I said Hobo, right? Midnight Hobo. Never mind.
You said Midnight Hobo, and then you started talking about FUBAR City, but we knew what you meant.
Okay. Well, let me rephrase this. Neither man has ever held the Midnight Hobo Championship. So I take all of that back. I take all of that back. Neither man has ever been FUBAR City champion. So I take that back?
I don't think one of them is going to take
it. Yes, one of them has had it, right?
Conk has been Midnight Hobo champion. For God's sake, he held it for 94 days. I'm a blonde. Block talk's a bitch. Yeah. Okay. But anyways. Where were we?
I think if AF James can take advantage of Conk's distraction on other fronts, he's got the advantage.
I mostly agree with that sentence. I would say it a little differently. I think AF James is going to go in there a steady, known entity, and I think we're going to get an AF James match out of AF James. But the problem is no one, including AF James, has any idea what Conk he's going to see. If we get the Conk that's self-assured and was kicking ass and taking names, I got to go for Conk. But, you know, he had a really rough night at Love Hurts. You know, from what I've been seeing, he's been kind of, you know, kicking himself and other people since then. You know, and like, so if he goes into that match not 100% on his game or, you know, thinking about other stuff, then I don't think he's going to have what it takes to stop AF James. So it really matters, like, what Conk do we see, right?
I tend to agree with Vacant.
Yeah, I have to agree. I lean if Conk is on the top, is the Conk that we all is at the top of his game, he wins this and goes on to face Hobo for the Midnight Hobo Championship. But AF James, it doesn't take too many mistakes for AF James to take advantage and get a pinfall. So it could go either way. All right, national championship contender match. Remember, we're talking about the national championship. Amadeus. It will be Nightcrawler versus Eva to see who will face Hotshot Chaz at Immortal. Now, this could get interesting. Nightcrawler and Chaz, obviously in the same stable of Anarchy, but they're also no strangers to each other when it comes to contender/title matches. They've fought many times, and Nightcrawler has come out with the advantage most times. So, then again, Eva has been looking very good since her return earlier this year. Who do you see walking out and challenging Chaz at Immortal 11?
I mean, I'm not even going to pretend to be unbiased. I think that Eva is going to take that match handily.
Handily? Ooh, okay.
Handily.
Handily. Are you on the same page with Maeve on this one, Elvagan?
I mean, I don't know if I would say handily, but I do think the odds are in their favor.
You know, I as much as I love Eva, well, I won't say I love her, but because she kind of creeps me out. Nightcrawler, I think maybe, in my opinion, maybe the favorite, just but only by slight, just because what I've seen of his work lately. But we will see. These two will, it will be a very good match either way. And whoever challenges Chaz, it's going to be very interesting. All right. This is where it really gets good, ladies and gentlemen, for a shot at Killer Neptune's Platinum Dragon Championship. And I find it very, very funny that if you all read Blake Bradley's diary entry earlier today, he kind of foresaw this because it will be Blake Bradley versus Simply the Best for a shot at the Platinum Dragon Championship at Immortal 11. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen, but Blake kind of blames STB for the fact he's not going to be in the main event at Immortal. And STB, I know, wants to get that Platinum Dragon Championship back. So which one walks out as the challenger to Killer Neptune at Immortal 11? El Vagant.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't.
You just don't care. Maeve, do you care anymore?
I feel like when you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, is what I think. I care in that we've already seen Killa beat STB for that belt, so I think it would be funny to watch him beat Blake for it next time.
All right. Well, it's going to get very interesting, I have a feeling. Blake Bradley versus Simply the Best, Platinum Dragon Championship shot at Killa Neptune on the line at Immortal 11. And then finally, for a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship, currently held by Chris Cage, it'll be the brothers. It'll be the brothers of Opaque once again. These two, the paragon of greatness, and Killa Neptune square off for an opportunity to main event Immortal 11. Now, Killa had probably the best rankings period, the best period of his entire career this past, topping it off with a huge win for the Platinum Dragon Championship. Paragon, however, he threw the DOC around, won the extra points tournament, won the White Lightning Championship. He did just about everything he could possibly do to get himself in this position. And we all know how much he covets that main event spot at Immortal. So, who's it going to be? Will it be the Paragon of Greatness, or will it be Killa Neptune squaring off against Chris Cage for the World Heavyweight Championship at Immortal? El Vacant.
That's tough. Brother versus brother, both having some of their best work in recent past time. No offense to Paragon, you know how much I love the guy. I'm going to pull for what most people are going to consider the underdog. I'm going to pull for Killa on this one, purely because, you look, again, no offense to Paragon, but I've seen the Paragon main event at Immortal. I got off a lot of times. I've never seen the Killa show at Immortal, and I kind of want.
All right. Maeve, your thoughts?
Have I mentioned lately how glad I am that I'm an only child? Imagine. Imagine being as talented in the ring and as charming and funny as Killa Neptune is. And then you have folks going, aren't you the paragon of greatness's little brother? I feel like it would do me head in. So I'm very grateful that I don't have to deal with that myself. I would love to see the Killa show at Immortal. But we've all seen what happens when poor Killa has to go up against Paragon for any sort of actual important thing. I feel like it's going to be the dream Killa all over again. I think Paragon's got this.
So you're betting more Corkra over more Sharkra. Is that what I'm hearing?
I wouldn't never call him more Sharkra. That's silly.
No, that was all me. I give you that. That was all me.
Were I a betting woman, and were it not Lent, the money on more Corkra.
All right, well, we will find out tomorrow right here in Calgary. Also, ladies and gentlemen, a superstar title match. Killa's not done. He not only has to face his brother for a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship, he's got to defend his Superstars Championship once again, this time against Tigress. Tigress getting the opportunity tomorrow here in Edmonton. So it is definitely going to get interesting in Edmonton tomorrow to see who goes on to face the champions at Immortal 11. All right. Oh. And, of course, Paragon also seeing double action tomorrow as he goes up against another member of the DOC, probably the only one he hasn't faced at this point, in Sophia McFadden. So there
is. Does that really count as double duty? Like,
I mean,
let's be honest, we've all faced Sophia McFadden before.
I mean, in Sophia, it might be double booty.
Wow.
I weren't ready.
So, on the tail end of all of that news about him, let's bring him back in, the P to the O to the G, the man who has an opportunity to once again main event Immortal. Ladies and gentlemen, the Paragon of Greatness. Paragon, good evening again.
Well, I mean, happy to be back here on Broke Talk Radio. An absolute wave of different emotions right now. I'm not gonna play dumb. I'm not gonna pretend like I didn't, you know, wasn't very closely watching some things and kind of had an inkling as to where we were going. But there's a difference between being pretty sure and you know, actually getting tangible information.
So how does it feel?
What an event was Love Hurts. I honestly don't even know where to start. Perhaps Amadeus, you want to guide this train on what which direction do I go first?
Let's start with the tag team match against the Hip. You and Knox Boogie defeating Conk and Natalya Nitro in their no DQ tag challenge. It was from what I saw, kind of a one-sided match. You two didn't seem to have too much problems with the Hip. Talk to me about that.
Well, to give all of the absolute credit due to the Hip, they did kind of obliterate Knox Boogie a little bit right out the gate. But, you know, I knew something that they did not know. I am not left-handed. I was very much in a situation where I wanted to get my hands on both members of the Hip, and that's absolutely what I got to do. The problem is that this tag team match was orchestrated and designed as a way to try to kill four birds with one stone, as it were at Love Hurts. I wanted to finish my checklist off, knock everybody off of the DOC so that I could be free and clear to focus on Immortal and have put this DOC mess behind me. But I think that everybody was in for a bit of an ice cold surprise later that night, finding out that perhaps I, you know, made some judgment errors, and the story is perhaps only just beginning, rather than coming to an end.
All right. And let's talk about the Anything Goes title match against Enigma. I mean, truth be told, you beat him to a bloody pulp, and the only reason you don't have that Anything Goes championship around your waist right now is you got a little too crazy there and kind of broke some rules that allowed the champion to get away with his title via DQ.
You're right. It's absolutely a shame that I didn't walk away with that championship. Extreme Enigma, the mouth of the DOC, he likes to talk a lot. He caught me at an emotional point that I am not proud of, but the point remained. I won the match. I didn't win the title. Enigma, I mean, perhaps we'll see each other again under a circumstance where I don't have such a emotional baggage and so much going on in my mind that I don't lose my temper. But remember this. Whether or not you are the champion, you were not the winner of that match.
Yeah, I think that's saying it politely.
That's being nice about it, Paragon. All right, now the match where I know you want to talk about probably most of the three, the parking lot brawl, the parking lot street fight with the Razor that you ended up winning, but afterwards, a shocking revelation.
I mean, the way that everything ended is obviously the story of this match, but I think that it would be doing a disservice as much as I despise the DOC and everything that they've done over the last few months, it would be a disservice to the Razor to not talk about this match properly. The Razor, amongst everybody in the DOC, perhaps I was looking in the wrong place, because I thought that Aaron McFadden was the person that I could trust amongst that group, the person that I counted as a friend. But Razor has been the one that has been the most respectful over this amount of time. I mean, of course, he's participated in their attacks, and he cannot be forgiven, and he had to get his punishment for that, which he did. But the Razor has, even during all of this chaos of what the DOC has been doing, he's had relatively positive things to say about me. It seems like his participation in this is because it's a group decision. He's never seemed to me like an enemy in all of this, and to be able to go up against Razor, the man that beat me in my very first match in RAWF, and then continue that theme of rolling it back to the beginning, getting to face him in a parking lot where this whole thing started, in my mind, it was poetic. Perhaps violently poetic, but poetic nonetheless. The two of us clashed in an absolute knockdown, drag-out brawl. Apologies for the damages to your limo, L.A. I will pick up the bill for that, I promise. But the thing is, plans can go exactly as you wanted them to. And while I thought that I could wrap this whole thing up in a neat little bow, bring it all back to the beginning, have this perfect ending to the story, when the dust settled, somebody else revealed that there are a couple more chapters in this book. You know, I saw Conk watching this match. I had a strong feeling that he was probably going to get involved. Fire Chief Bill, I don't know if he was hiding in a trunk or where he was at. Dude popped out of nowhere, started just laying in shots. Extreme Enigma, you know, the whole gang was there, and I was positive that this was going to be the same old DOC thing. They couldn't take that I had beaten them all down, that I had taken my revenge, and that they were going to try to take some cheap shots on the way out of the door. And that's when my friend, somebody that I have supported for a very long time, and you can attest, this is not just here on After Hours, this is both in front of the camera and behind the camera. I have been a huge Aaron McFadden supporter for years, and this guy, very noncommittal about what's going on with the DOC this whole time, he made his way out as the DOC were attacking me. And honestly, and you can call me a fool for this, I fully accept that.
You're a fool.
Thank you. I believed that Aaron McFadden was there to break up the fight. I believed that Aaron McFadden was there to help me after all of this time standing on the fence, after all of this time saying that he can't control what his friends are doing, that he doesn't support it, but it is what it is. I thought that he had finally turned a corner, that he had realized that the DOC were the problem, and that he was better than that, that he could have moved on and done something special. And he made a choice. Oh, did he make a choice? Because in that moment, when it looked like Aaron McFadden may have been coming to my aid, a punch heard round the world rocked the jaw of Paragon of Greatness. The DOC held me down, and Aaron McFadden, with a spray paint can in hand, signed a document upon my chest that guarantees that his comeuppance will be delivered. Aaron, you chose a very, very stupid option. And I hope that you know that.
All right. Well, Paragon, with all of that being said, all of your stuff with the DOC, would set that aside for just a second, because it is Immortal season. You are once again in a world title contender match for a shot at the being in the main event at Immortal, something you have been on at least four or five different occasions here in Immortal history, so you know what it's all about. But you got to get by your brother, who has probably scored the biggest victory in his career at Love Hurts over STB, had one of the most brilliant rankings periods in RAWF history. And now he's got to get past you if he wants to take that next step to the World Heavyweight Championship, something he's never held before, something that you even in the past challenged him to get to. And now you are the only thing standing in his way. Talk to me about what this match is going to be like tomorrow.
I mean, it's an ultimate win-win and an ultimate lose-lose situation. It's a classic catch-20, if you will. Here it is. Myself, Gil and Neptune. Two very different stories converge on the road to Immortal. Myself, the flag bearer of RAWF, the man that is always leading the charge for this company straight into the fray no matter what the situation is, the man that represents this company with his blood, sweat, and tears every single day and has proven time and time again that he will sacrifice anything and everything to get to that main event of Immortal so that he can have that one moment every year where he feels like everything was worth it. All of the time and the effort put into RAWF, it's the one time that I truly shine brightest, because it is the singular match that most represents RAWF every year, the main event of the biggest show on Earth. And then we've got Killer Neptune. This conspiracy that had been going on since, ironically, Love Hurts 1 year ago, I think that at first I was very much the same as everybody else. I didn't really get it. I understand what Killer Neptune, he's running around in a detective's uniform, but he's talking trash about Killer Neptune. Every match he's talking about how Killer Neptune sucks and that he shouldn't be winning these matches. The only reason that he is winning these matches is because he's the benefactor of some sort of conspiracy. I think that nobody had any clue what was going on. And in a lot of ways, that kind of is the story of Killer Neptune. A guy that has these really outside of the box ideas that are extremely ambitious and incredibly creative, but nobody gets him. And I think that that's compounded the way that he thinks about himself in a lot of ways. As the conspiracy, as it were, wore on, as Hobo Ezekiel got involved and the tale began to have more light shed upon it, I think that we all slowly started to realize the greater implications of the Killer Neptune conspiracy, the fact that this wasn't about a silly fish man gaining benefits through some sort of invisible hand guiding him. It was about a man who lives in the shadow of giants, who is constantly overlooked or treated like the runt, even in a Hall of Fame career. How many times have we seen Killer Neptune in a high profile or prominent match? And when, you know, yourself and El Vacant are running down the pay-per-view card and we say Killer Neptune is going up against simply the best for the Platinum Dragon Championship, how often is Killer Neptune brushed off as a joke, almost laughed off as a fluke that he was in the match and has no chance? I think that the self-consciousness that has worn down Killer Neptune over all of these years, knowing that the people that he is compared to have always been a step ahead of him, and it's always made him feel inadequate, to have this opportunity to main event Immortal, it's something that even I, who, you know how much I care about the main event of Immortal, even I am moved to emotional state over this. Yeah. I want to see Killer Neptune succeed. That being said,
I mean, you have some say over it.
We look at this situation. If I win, fantastic. That's the one time a year that I really try. It's the one thing that I absolutely put everything into. I have a almost stress breakdown every year. I'm trying to get to this position and to be able to have that relief to know that I'm going to the main event of Immortal for the sixth time. I'm chasing you, brother. And this blonde-haired, mustachioed man main event in a different show a certain amount of times, and I'm coming for that. But there's this part in the back of my head where I really realize if I don't win this match for the first time maybe ever in a contendership match leading into Immortal, I feel okay about it. I feel like if there's anybody else going to the main event of Immortal that's not me, if it's Killer Neptune, I can be happy about that. And that, in a lot of ways, relieves a lot of pressure and feels great. But the downfall, well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we've talked, I think I understand where you're going with this, but I wanted to get to the crux of this matter, because I know main eventing Immortal is important to you. But let's talk about the man you would be facing at Immortal were you to be Killer tomorrow, and that's Chris Cage, a man you just last week took something from him that he'd held for almost a year, and that being the White Lightning Championship. Now, it could be the next thing you take away from him would be the World Heavyweight Championship. Have you thought about that at all?
I mean, it's hard. It's hard to think past the match tomorrow, obviously. But I had something to say about Chris Cage. I mean, first and foremost, I think that when you look at his White Lightning brain, you said 360 something days, I believe. 371-ish days by the time he actually lost the match after it was set, something crazy like that. One of those like improbably long runs. It's not just talent when somebody can do that. It's unbridled skill, and I think that barring perhaps the great Uncle Frank, Chris Cage has established himself as perhaps the greatest hardcore wrestler in RAWF history, but the World Heavyweight Championship is something completely different. The World Heavyweight Championship is a different type of skill set, a different type of strategy, and he's proven beyond anybody's doubt that he's much more than a one-dimensional wrestler. He defeated arguably the greatest of all time to win that championship. He defended that championship when everybody told him that he was untested and he was going up against the man that has dominated the rankings for the last year. Chris Cage is more than a hardcore wrestler. Chris Cage is a world-class professional wrestler. And to see him main event Immortal is a similar feeling to if kill a Neptune were to do it. I'm very proud of it. I have a very emotional reaction to this because if you remember a couple of years ago when myself and Chris Cage fought at Immortal, the Cut Your Heart Out match, the entire time, all I was trying to do, all I wanted was to help Chris Cage realize his potential, realize how much better he could be if he could settle his mind, if he could realize the errors of his ways and become more focused and a better person overall. And, you know, I'm not going to necessarily say that the way that he got there is ideal, but the vindication after all of these years to see Chris Cage turn things around, become the man that I knew that he could be, and to become the world heavyweight champion almost immediately afterwards. No matter what our past is, it does me proud. It makes me think that you know, what I saw in Chris Cage was absolutely correct. And to be able to step on that big stage with Chris Cage again in a world heavyweight championship match this time, I think that as a storyteller, this is something that I couldn't think of a possible better ending to the Chris Cage Paragon of Greatness saga than to see two men with respect squaring off against each other in the main event of the biggest show.
All right. Paragon, hate to cut it short, but we, you know, we got time and I still got a couple of callers to get to, but tomorrow, a big night, Killer Neptune, main event of Immortal 11 on the line. Good luck to you, sir, and good luck to Killer as well.
Thank you.
All right, so that is going to be the big one tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, the Paragon of Greatness versus Killer Neptune. The winner goes on to Immortal 11. Earlier, we did GM reports, but I was remiss. I forgot one very important division to report on, and that was the Hatfield and McCoy division, which has been my baby this month, and closed sign-ups about 6 days ago and put everybody into the tournaments that they signed up for. So let's take a look at that Hatfield qualifying tournament. It is already in the semifinals, and right now, Conk has made it to the finals after defeating Sean the Hitman Hurd, and we are waiting on the winner of Extreme Enigma and FCB to see who will face Conk. So whoever comes out of that side will definitely be a member of the DOC at this point. And then the McCoy qualifying tournament, it's got a little longer to go. We are in the quarterfinals there, Paragon of Greatness versus Mad Cow in one semifinal matchup. We are waiting on Chris Cage versus Billy Gunn to see who will face Blake Bradley in the other quarterfinal matchup. The winner will go on to face Undertaker for the Hatfield and McCoy Championship at Immortal 11. All right. Speaking of Immortal 11, as you all know, it is not just the start of the Xanther Memorial Tournament. It is also the naming of the RAWF Hall of Fame class of 2024. The ceremony will be at Rataversary about a month after so. And we already have one match set for Immortal 11 for sure. And that is the Three Stages of Hell match between Soul Reaper and Fire Chief Bill. And Maeve, you were here last week. You kind of got in the middle of it, to be honest with you, when those two had their shouting match. And they decided they could each pick one step, and I would pick the third one. So I believe Soul Reaper picked a Belfast Brawl. Fire Chief Bill picked a Bull Rope match. And I have decided that the third match in the Three Stages of Hell will be a lumberjack match, meaning they must get a fan support from somebody before every move set. And I'm thinking at least maybe two fan supports. What do you think? One or two L vacant.
17.
Maybe.
No.
I mean, I thought it were funny when I made Enigma get more and more every round.
Nah, we're not going to go that far. We'll make it a set amount.
Let's go two.
All right, I think you're right. They have to get two fan supports before every round. And I think those fan supports maybe have to be from a totally different person. They can never get the same fan support from the same person. What do you think?
Can the same person fan support if the other person?
That's
suppose. A good question.
I might have to rethink that. Let's put it this way. Lumberjack match, it will involve fan supports. I will finalize the fan support idea by next week, I promise, or, you know, by the next time we go on air. All right. So with that being said, let's bring on, ladies and gentlemen, he is the Midnight Baller, if you want to call him that. We like to call him Hobo Ezekiel. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
I don't ever, ever, ever want to hear you say Yeet again. Do you understand me?
Yeet.
Night Hobo Champion. Hobo, how the hell are you tonight?
Hold on. Hold the boxcar door. I didn't see a fluke in killing Neptune's match, Purple Man. Griffith done showed me a fluke, and I didn't see no fluke in that ring. I will tell you, I did find something good to eat after Love Hurts.
Oh, really? What was that?
Well, as I like to call it, the floatsome of fun. So you take your average trash can, you clean it out with the nearest spigot at Joe's Liquor, take it over to your local 24/7 confectionery, and well, here comes the fun part. You get 5 pounds of Fiesta Doritos, 5 pounds of ground beef, 1 can of nacho cheese, 1 burnt chicken, courtesy of a U-Haul's tailpipe backfire, 2 cans of Beanie Weenies, 5 cans of Boom Sauce, and a couple bags of lettuce, or as I like to call it, wabbit food. And you might want to add a couple cloves of garlic just to keep any vampire bats at bay. That's right, I'm talking about you, Shikaka. No giggling, no flying, and no dive bombing. I want to stay alive long enough to eat this goddamn thing. And to top things off, Lele, you give your can a little shake, and then you yeet it up. Floatsome of fun.
Okay. Sounds, well, you know, it's the floatsome of fun. Floatsome of fun. Sounds like fun.
It was yeelicious.
Yeah, it was yeelicious. All right. Well, great. Okay. And you're right, Hobo. I suppose a lot of us considered that an upset, but you kind of stood side by side with Killer through the whole conspiracy thing, and you're kind of the reason he realized what the conspiracy really was. So you know that.
That's right. I knew it all along. I wasn't wrong. I might have been wrong about Mama Moose and Liam O'Shaughnessy, but I was not wrong. I was not wrong about the conspiracy with Killer Neptune. I knew the whole time. I was just, I didn't want to be sus about it, you know. Just, I didn't want to over-riz aliens about that.
I don't know what is that something the kids say, Sus and Riz?
Yeah, they say a lot of that these days, you know, trying to, you know, expand the product out there and, you know, look hip, I ain't shook.
I don't know what, I mean, I just figured out what yeet meant just not too long ago. Now you're throwing this Sus and Riz shit at me. What the hell? All right, but anyways, Hobo, you're going to go to Immortal with both those championships you still have, the Powerball and the Midnight Hobo Championship. We have no idea at this point who the Powerball challenger might be, although I suppose the tournament is up. I could take a look and see who might have an idea. Oh, yeah, we're down to the finals. Holy, pretty small tournament. So either be a rematch with Nightcrawler, who you retained the title against at Love Hurts, or it'll be Conk, who could also be one of your challengers for the Midnight Hobo Championship if he could get past Eva. So I'm curious.
Please do.
I'm curious, Conk, which one would you prefer to see in the Powerball title
Conk.
Match? Nightcrawler? Huh? Conk?
Well, you just said something that scared me a little bit ago. And I'll choose anyone over the scary name.
Oh, you mean?
Are you sitting here telling me that you're scared of Eva?
Don't say it. Get up here.
I should be so lucky. I haven't seen her lately.
Whew. Purple Man, are you there? I need protection.
She's harmless. I don't know what you're on about.
Let me just climb into your sink there.
What the hell, dude?
Hey, how are you doing?
Whoa, now.
Whoa, what the hell happened there? So I'm assuming you would like to see in the Midnight Hobo title match. I get that. What about the Powerball? Would you like a rematch to get NC or another match with Conk?
Don't matter to me. Just as long as you get Ronnie the limo driver and Dan Levitan this secret, not so secret anymore, alliance thing going on, kind of nipped in the ding-a-ling a little bit, because it's starting to get me a little perturbed.
I'll see what I can do about that, Hobo. I'll have a talk. I'll have a talk with at least Dan and find out what the heck's going on. But can you get out of there? She's not here. I promise you. She's not here.
How did I get in this position? Sorry about that, Purple Man.
I don't know, but you really need to get out of there. Paragon
looks like... That singlet is doing more work than any two folks on this roster right now.
I mean, I knew Paragon had a third leg, but that's ridiculous. Come on, get out of there.
Sorry about that, Purple Man. I will say this about your the next time you face Aaron Lukewarm McFlattened, if you get your hands on him, you're going to be calling this radio Broke Back Radio, because you're going to break his back. But why are you looking at me
right.
Like that, Lele?
I'm right. You get a reprieve here, Hobo. It is not Eva that you had to face. I just wanted to scare you a little bit. It's actually could be Conker AF James. I apologize. Sorry, Paragon. That's on me. I apologize. Paragon, you okay?
I think I'm gonna have to get a new singlet, but
you don't need a cigarette, do you? Never mind. All right. So yes, there's no chance of you facing Eva. It'll either be AF James or Conk. Do you prefer Conk or AF James?
Well, AF James, he has money on his side. Conk sounds like something when you walk across the pond and you get those geese mad at you. So I don't really have a favorite of mine, but I'm sure it'll be a good match, whoever it is.
All right. Cool. Cool. So is there any rumor, is there any truth to the rumor that you actually bought a boxcar in Beverly Hills with the money from the Powerball Championship?
Okay. You just had to go blurt that out in the open. Well, it's for Mama Moose, see. I mean, she is kind of not hard to miss out on the I-10. But I just keep her there, and I have the job side jobbers kind of look after her. I mean, I tell them I'm going to give them some show time if they take care of her. Diggerlings. So, yeah, I've got her out there, and they're making sure that she behaves herself. And she's making sure they behave themselves, too. I would absolutely hate to see one of those ding-a-lings dare embarrass the good name of REWF After Hours. And you, Lele, don't forget that. They absolutely do not deserve a spot on this roster. Horrible wrestlers. Horrible. Horrible. Just embarrassing.
All right. Last question, Hobo. Have you received any money for that wonderful, terrific commercial you did for El Vacant's Taco Trucks?
Hey.
I will say my Whoopsum Fund is looking pretty good right now, and so far I hear my name is pretty big in the Toke Yo-Yo, and I am gotten a call from Sassy Squelcher about a new soap bar coming out pretty soon, and there's a burger joint wanting to hit me up on a new ad that they were doing, and you might see that pretty soon.
All right. Thank you, Hobo. Ladies and gentlemen, he is your Midnight Hobo and Powerball champion. He awaits the winner of AF James and Conk to see who he will face at Immortal 11 for that championship, and Conk and Nightcrawler in the finals of the Powerball Contender Tournament. It'll be a big night for the Midnight Baller. Good luck, Hobo.
That's right, Lele. Shout out to the Yeet Pack. Boom shots, boom shots. Lee Kate just don't sound the same. God damn it.
All right, that was Hobo Ezekiel. Always fun to talk with him. And Maeve, you okay? You seem disturbed by what you just saw.
You're not?
Paragon, are you okay? Do I have to buy you a new singlet? Is that what
I feel like
happened?
More Corker needs an adult.
Look, I just want to know if he's going to say that hamburger joint stuff is made out of roadkill, because I got to tell you, I had a lot of questions after that. For the record, right. We have never once used roadkill in any of our foods. Never.
Well, I mean, isn't technically all meat roadkill when you think about it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it absolutely isn't.
I think it's only roadkill if it's killed on the road. I think that's why it's called roadkill.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, he has an opportunity tomorrow to move on to the Triple Crown Championship at the pay-per-view that he likes to say is named after him. Let's bring on
I am immortal.
Ladies and gentlemen, the immortal Griffith joining us this evening. Good evening, Griffith.
And good evening, sir.
English!
Hey, Irish, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
So you two had a hurly-burly of a match at Love Hurts with Griffith with Griffith coming out on top. Wait, is that okay to say it? Like, no, no. Victory was the immortal Griffith.
Is he implying something, English?
No.
He's probably on that same bandwagon as some of the others.
No, I'm not.
You've been listening to Dan Levitan and Doc too much. They're terrible gossips.
Yeah, well, anywho, that is part of their job, just saying. But,
I guess that is fair. Their job is color commentary. There's pot stirring is part of the gig.
Yeah, but to be fair, it was a hell of a match between the two of you, and it kind of worked out. Even though Maeve, you took the L. Yes, the L. That doesn't. Anyway,
you know, then you seem a little flustered all of a sudden.
That happens. But Griff, it propelled you up into a spot for the Triple Crown contendership tomorrow, and your opponent is the one and only ice cold Aaron McFadden, someone that someone else in this room is not happy with at this moment. But talk to me about facing the ice cold one tomorrow for a possibility of facing Fire Chief Bill at Immortal 11.
I would say that I feel bad for everything I'm going to do to that man tomorrow because he's in my way. But it would be a lot. To find out that apparently he's this mastermind behind DOC and that it's been him all along and blah, blah, blah. Like, I made it very clear how I feel about these disgusting mob tactics that these people have been using, over and over again, trying to get past one man and failing, by the way, which just makes it delicious. But, I made it clear that, I've said multiple times in multiple places, like, all the Paragon's got to do is raise his hand, and I am right there because I cannot stand this type of behavior in this industry. This is an industry where two people get in a ring, and then that bell rings, they put everything they have into beating the other person. It is about that personal glory. It is about combat. It is about striving to overcome what is in front of you. And when you tarnish that with these group tactics, trying to just beat someone down and wear someone down so you can try to make some, a point, apparently, not that anyone knows what that point's supposed to be, it disgusts me. And I've said from day one, all he has to do is raise his hand. I will be right there by his side to help. And, he hasn't done that. And what the best part is he hasn't needed it. So that's just great. That's that little cherry on top of that shit Sunday for them. But I'm not going to say that I don't feel some sort of way knowing that I'm going to have their so-called ringleader in the ring tomorrow. And I get to use him to catapult myself to a shot at a belt I have held before a couple times. And more importantly, to take that belt away from another member of that group who has been running his mouth at me for months in that green room. And every time it gets to the point where I think I'm just going to slap the taste out of his mouth, he backs down just enough that let it go. So here's the thing. Fire Chief, I know you're out there. I saw you. I heard you. Fuck, I smelled you. Let's be clear. Tomorrow, you should pay attention because what I do to your little ringleader is only going to pale in comparison to what I do to you at Immortal when I take that belt away from you. Every single word of disrespect you have thrown at me and my partner over the last several months in that green room are going to come back at you in spades, and I am going to enjoy it immensely. On the biggest stage of the year, I am going to give you your biggest humiliation, and then I'm going to laugh about it.
Wow. Strong words from the immortal one, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow he faces Aaron McFadden with a chance to go to Immortal 11 and face and square off for the Triple Crown Championship. So, Griffith, I blame you.
I mean, it's probably my fault, but what did I do this time?
You made an anonymous comment. It was actually off the record, but someone got wind of it. And let me see if I quote you. I'm gonna find it here real quick. Quote you.
You're in trouble now, English. He's looking for quotes.
If it was anonymous, how do you know it was me? I'm rarely anonymous.
Because I'm pretty sure it was you. Let's see. Where is it?
Such a suspicious mind Boss Man has.
Who am I to question one of the premier bookers in all of wrestling today?
Oh, no, I absolutely said that.
You did say that, didn't you?
That was in my State of the RAWF address.
Yeah, you did say that.
Yeah, no,
okay,
I absolutely said that.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. You said that out loud. And yeah. Guess whose head grew about five sizes that day?
Uh-oh. So try to
change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Everybody doing tonight? The premier booker in all of wrestling here. How you doing? Mr. Griffith, how are you, sir? Great to see you.
I'm doing wonderful. And look, you know, you need to back that up. You just point. All you got to do is point to Love Hurts. That match between Maeve and I mean, it took over the show. It was the show stopper. And who came up with that match? Who was it?
That was you, sir.
That was right. That was this man right here. The premier booker in all of wrestling today.
There you go. See you, boss. How you doing, boss man? Don't.
I'm here.
Okay. Hello, Randy. What? You know, we need to talk, you and me, boss man. We got to talk. I think I need a raise. You know what I'm saying? You've already asked for me a raise five times since Griff made this speech. I know, but, you know, I thought maybe I did it on the air, you know, a little more pressure, put some pressure on the boss, you know what I'm saying?
You're not going to say hello to me, Randolph.
Oh, Miss Gams, I apologize, you know what I'm saying, I apologize, oh, hello. But yeah, you know, I am the premier booker in all of sports entertainment, you know what I'm saying? So, you know. I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now, so I apologize for. And oh, that Paragon, what happened to your singlet there, man? You got a bulge, and it ain't in good place. You know what I'm saying? Apparently, he don't want to talk about it. All right, no problem. Anyways, boss man, I got a problem though. I do got a problem, and what's that, Randy? Bob Dog ate my homework. Say what? Yeah, I had all my stuff here, and then you know, with all the things that have been happening with the station tonight, I kind of lost my list. Okay, so you don't have an undercard for me tomorrow? I'll have it by tomorrow. Don't you worry, boss man. But you know, I got. Can I borrow the limo tonight? What? Yeah. I need to borrow the limo. You know, I gotta look good when I go out in Edmonton tonight. No. No. Besides that, the limo's in the shop. Do you not remember what happened at Love Hurts? Oh, that's right. Can you rent me a car? No. You know that I don't do that. You rent your own cars.
It's okay, right, Randy. Well, I got you. You can have my limo tonight.
See, that I appreciate that, Mr. Griffith. I appreciate that very much. You know, if you ever need anything, you just come to the Premier Booker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah. Anyways. So you got nothing for me, Randy. You just came on to brag and ask for a raise, and that's it. Yeah, pretty much. Right. Thank you, Randolph. Yeah, she called me Randy. No problem. Yeah. I know other things I want to call you. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're about done here for the evening, considering hopefully Blog Talk gets its shit together by the next time we see you. Good luck to everybody in their contenders matches tomorrow here in Edmonton. And it's going to be a crazy night, to say the least. I don't even know where to go. Maeve, any final thoughts, Maeve, that you have on anything?
I'd like to wish good luck to everyone who's in round four of Bridget. Next round starts the money round, so have fun.
The money round. Paragon, are you there?
Yep.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Listen, yeah, conspiracy. Because if I tomorrow night, if I win, it's because Killer Neptune stepped aside to let me win. And if Killer Neptune wins tomorrow night, it's because I stepped aside and let Killer Neptune win. So anybody that's got something to say out there, please fill out all of your conspiracy comment cards and send them to Hobo Ezekiel. He's an amazing detective.
All right. Speaking of Hobo Ezekiel, Hobo, you got any final thoughts? Apparently not. All right. Griffith, anything?
I'm just really going to enjoy tomorrow. It's going to be one of my favorite days ever.
All right. And El Vacant, anything you have to say? Any final thoughts?
No, you know, I'm just going to promote one of the more recent additions to my truck because I haven't been talking it up the way perhaps I should. So, you know, now that he's retained, maybe we should also celebrate. Bring yourself down to the trucks and get yourself a Chris Cajun burrito. They're amazing. And they're one of our top sellers currently. So come on down and have yourself a bite of Chris Cajun.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you listening. Sorry about no chat, but you guys seem to have done pretty good in that chat. Maeve, thank you for making that scene for everybody. Seems like it was pretty active. I appreciate that. Seems like it was pretty active. Had some people in there that were it was fun to watch during the show. So, folks, hopefully we will talk to you again soon. And do not forget, March 31st, mark it on your calendar, Immortal 11, the biggest show of the year, live from Houston, Texas. We'll see you tomorrow here in Edmonton for El Vacant, Maeve O'Hare, the Paragon of Greatness, Hobo Ezekiel, and the Immortal Griffith. We say good night.